And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, special shout out to one of our listeners, Hank from Decatur. Hank from Decatur, got your letter in the mail. Appreciate that very much. And thanks for the opportunity to converse with you. Anyway, Hank from Decatur, appreciate you. Hey, listen, I'm gonna tell you real quickly, too. Elm Foundation, one of our sponsors, Elm, E-L-M, that stands for Expect Little Miracles. Elm Foundation is doing cool stuff and changing people's lives while they do it. The Elm Foundation, based out of Huntsville, check them out on their website. That's E-L-M-H-S-V, as in Elm Huntsville. Elm Foundation is doing things like, you know, intervening in people's lives, helping them get back on their feet, giving them job skills training, giving them accountability to follow through, making sure they know what's what and how best they can fit back into society, not just like government throwing money at it. I'm talking about they actually walk people through the process of restoring them to being effective and productive members of the community. And so I just want to encourage you, check out their website. You may like what you see. The Elm Foundation at elmhsv.org. That's elmhsv.org. And if you wind up talking to them or going to one of their meetings or whatever else, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. I would appreciate it greatly. All right, hey, listen, I got to tell you, as we move through on this tone-deaf politics, I mean, I just find it, and I'll touch base on this situation with Governor Ivey's education budget. If you have not heard, you may have heard bits and pieces a moment ago when I was talking to Jeff Poor. But here's the bottom line. In the process of budgeting, the way it works is the governor sends over her budget, her proposed budget. But the legislature has the power of the purse. The legislature is the one who, you know, reviews it, walks it through the committee process, and then begins to, you know, redefine the appropriations, strike some, add some, whatever. So the legislature has her budget right now and is reviewing it. And before the end of the session, the only thing that the legislature is constitutionally mandated to do is pass the governor's budget. Or not pass a budget, I'm sorry. In Alabama, we have two budgets. We have the education budget and we have the everything else budget we call the general fund. So the education budget, I can't tell you how many times in the past it was flush with cash, but you couldn't touch it even though the general fund was sucking wind and woefully inadequate to cover expenses. But right now, for the first time in God knows maybe ever, Alabama has surpluses like you wouldn't believe. Not just from federal dollars. We have $2.7 billion. In true budget surpluses. But yet we're not seeing any relief built in. Oh, we might get a rebate of $400 a household. How tacky is that? But within the governor's education budget, she's got something like $20 million to help finish out a water park area in Montgomery. What? She's got $5 million, I believe it is, to go to the city of Birmingham to help pay off the debt they incurred by hosting the World Games, which didn't go very well. They've got $100 million for, and it is the educational facilities, but it's still prison facilities. Well, I thought we were paying for the prison through all this financing we did out of our COVID relief money, that we couldn't get any relief to private citizens who had their businesses shut down. No. Just, hey, we gotta upfund this prison thing, man. Well, we did. I know we have to build new prisons because the other ones are, I don't mean like inadequate. I mean, they're awful. They're like 160% overpopulated and we're under court order to get it fixed. That being said, they just doubled the cost like a couple weeks ago. Did you not do a bidding process on that? Did you not have somebody locked in? For the love of God, $1 billion now to build one prison, not the three that we're talking about, just one of them. And so what does her education budget have? Oh, look, you know, I think we'll use $100 million of our surplus in education. Yeah, and we'll build part of that prison. Right. Well, this is tone deaf, y'all. This is a governor's budget that doesn't look like she not even cares what's going on with the people around her. She's just looking around going, hey, where can I sling some money? Hey, and by the way, think about what she just did. She bailed out the city of Birmingham. She's bailing out the city of Montgomery. She's bailing out the prison. What are those? She's funding government. She's not spending time finding a way to say, the people of this state need something back in their own pockets because they're the ones, their small businesses and their individual work, they are what drives the economy in our state. No, she's too busy finding little pork projects to help fund local, county, and state government. That is about as tone deaf as it gets. And I'll be honest with you, Governor Ivey does some good things, and when she does, I'll call him out. But right now, this education budget is embarrassing. Embarrassing. And she needs to go ahead and pull it back and have it redone. I'm wondering how much of it she even saw before she sent it across the street. All right, tone deaf politics continues when we get back. What is the Arizona governor doing about the border? Yeah, wait till you hear from this. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Wow. Okay, so the text lines have just gone crazy today, Boomer. I was checking them out a minute ago, and I'm going to jump on those here in just a minute. Before I do, though, I got to tell you, ZLA Solutions, man, they are tearing it up right now. They are helping businesses left and right. I'm pretty sure their business is expanding as we speak. But yeah, ZLA Solutions. They do all kinds of things. They can help you a lot of different business solutions, things like, you know, logistics, warehousing, quality control, sorting and containment, all that kind of stuff. But their bread and butter remains staffing. Doesn't matter whether it's for temp employees or direct hire employees. They can find you the people you need. I'm talking about blue collar, white collar, no collar. It don't matter. They're in the middle of helping a big hiring push right now for a big white collar, high tech opportunity out at Redstone Arsenal. But they've got any number of different kind of jobs, everything from auto manufacturing and hospital staffing and otherwise. And yeah, high tech. But so if you need help staffing out your business, doesn't matter how many you need, onesies and twosies or a whole shift of people. ZLA Solutions, man, they can do that for you. The recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing, all of it. Here's their website, ZLAUSA.com. Super easy. Go to ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. And when you do, I would much appreciate it if you would say you heard about it on Right Side Radio. Let me go to that text line here for a minute. Where was this? Let's see. Talking about the mammoth meatball again, Boomer. So people are still texting in about the woolly mammoth lab-grown meatball. Bruce from Hazel Green says, Phil, don't you remember the days when you were in survival training eating bugs and grubs and other disgusting things? Yeah, but they were real. I think I'd rather eat a grub that I found under a log than some slimy piece of meat grown in a lab from an extinct animal's DNA. I just don't like it. All right, so there's that. Brandy from Athens, regarding trigger warnings on Gone with the Wind, says, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn, and just wait for the trigger warning on the Bible. Yeah. Donna from Coleman says, lab-grown meat fuels artificial intelligence. There you go. Raven from Russellville says, sounds like something a genderqueer clown nun would enjoy eating. Yeah, no doubt. Jack Assery says, pulling a giant jack wagon. Oh, my gosh. Jeremy from Huntsville, what did he have on here? He says, regarding Gone with the Wind, he also says, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. That joke got grabbed by a lot of people. Mike from Rainbow City, that story about the lady who says she's disturbed because she considers herself bisexual, but people think she's straight and she's got a family, but she doesn't, calls it a, like almost like a faux family. Mike from Rainbow City texted and says, the married lady story is sad. It's a simple mental illness. Mostly she needs Jesus. I would agree with that. All right, listen, let me do that. Have I got a call on the line? I will do that real quick. Is that Lee? Lee from Huntsville. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. How you been?
You know, that work's been busy, but I've been trying to catch you whenever I can, or I listen on YouTube afterwards. So good. I always catch it.
Thank you so much. What's on your mind?
Well, first off, all this, I'm over the meatball thing. That is the most disgusting thing I have ever heard. Are we going to Jurassic Park or what?
It's like, yeah. So at what point does the something grown in the lab take over? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, they're also going to like rehydrate some of these old viruses too. Don't think they are doing that. But anyway, and I don't know if you saw my text, but I want my pterodactyl egg omelet. I mean, come on. This is just ridiculous.
That's so I did see that, and I was just about to get to it when I realized you were on the phone. So, yeah, Lee texts in. She wants a pterodactyl egg omelet to go with her lab-grown woolly mammoth
exactly.
meatball. Awesome.
Come on.
Awesome.
But my main comment is, and we've played baseball up in Albertville. I don't know if you've ever been to the big complex there. They have, like, a big water park type complex. There's all kinds of sports stuff up there, and they spent, I don't know how much, because everything has turf. I mean, and turf's super expensive if people don't know that. And they spent millions upon millions upon millions on this. Why is it that they can float bonds or do whatever they need to do to get that built, and Montgomery needs us to build a water park for them or complete a water park for them to use for the rest of the state? I say let Montgomery pay for that. It's ridiculous that they would want the state to pay for that. We're not going to use it.
Totally agree. And I look at it, and first of all, that entire sports complex built out in Albertville is amazing. And they did it with local dollars and local bond issues. But I think it's leadership. I think it boils down to leadership. Leadership that's willing to own what they get into and not have to look for the handout left and right. You know, if a tornado had come through or a bomb had gone off, I get it, but it's not that. It's management and leadership.
And I have a child who lives in Birmingham, and I was down there in and out during that World Game thing. And Boomer's right. There was some of the weirdest, quote, games. I was like, I've never heard of this. It's just, you know, it was silly, and it wasn't well done, and it wasn't advertised well. But Birmingham is... just it's like Atlanta. It's a city that everybody gets where they get through hookups, and they are mismanaged. They are poorly managed. It's not a city that I would ever want to live in. I mean, I know there's some nice parts, but I still wouldn't want to live there. It's not well run. Huntsville is 10 times better run. I mean, our sewers are okay. Birmingham's are decrepit. And, you know, and it's due to mismanagement more than anything. And you reward the mismanagement by supplementing their funds when they mess up instead of forcing them to come up with the money on their own.
Yep, it ain't right. And it's completely tone deaf, because when you look at the private sector that suffered through the pandemic and now the Bidenomics of our, you know, our current recession and interest rates and inflation, and you think, okay, everybody in the private sector is struggling to get by, but the only place in the world where you're allowed to fail and still get your next level appropriation and maybe even a plus up is somewhere in government, and that's what they're doing. It's tone deaf.
Yes. That's why the term good enough for government work came from.
It means
you can do some half-assery and still get it.
Okay, so now we got to have jackassery and half-assery. We got to find a sound effect for half-assery. I don't know what that looks like, but okay. Hey, Lee, appreciate you. You have a great day. Is she gone? She's gone. Okay. You know, tone-deaf politics is not just in Alabama. I'm fussing a moment ago about Governor Ivey's education budget. Here's one for you. So in Arizona, you know the deal. You know what the border's been like. The Arizona border crisis is unreal. And, of course, it's mostly federally controlled, right? However, it affects the individual citizens of the state of Arizona. And now, you remember the whole thing about Katie Hobbs sort of won the Arizona governor's race. It's questionable. But she won. She's the governor, just like Joe Biden's the president. Katie Hobbs assumes the role as governor, and now within months, she is scrapping the border strike force. I kid you not. While her people are suffering because they're being inundated with illegals rushing across the border, draining local services, stomping through farm fields, babies being found, you know, abandoned at the border, dead bodies in the rivers, It's the governor's job to protect the people of her state. And the first thing she wants to do now and she wants to scrap her state's border strike force. I don't know how much more tone deaf you could be. Now, she does say, what our budget intends is to do is to reallocate the funds where they can be most purposeful. Really? Like away from the border? So I've said this before. Recent reporting has indicated it's not a force. It's not striking at the border. She's playing with words now. And so we can repurpose those dollars where they can be more beneficial in terms of coordinating a law enforcement response at the border. It was a law enforcement response at the border. And she said this, by the way, while she was touring the border just a few days ago with Homeland Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, which to me is like two blind rats sniffing out a piece of cheese. That's what it was. They have no idea how tone deaf they are. Representative Andy Biggs, who serves, you know, as a, I think he is the actually the chair of the House Freedom Caucus. He's also from Arizona. He says the courageous members of the Arizona Border Strike Force Bureau keep Arizonans safe every day. There is no rational reason to undermine border and national security efforts amid a historical border crisis. When you've got the governor of the neighboring state, Texas, plussing up his state's response levels, adding to his state personnel, and oh, by the way, Arizona, your border strike force was considered a part of your Department of Public Safety, so it was law enforcement, but the governor is going to go ahead and just pretend she doesn't hear what her people are saying to her and go ahead and do away with the border strike force. How about this one? Tone deaf. So Michigan, where did we just learn first about the Chinese spy balloon? We learned about it when it was flying over Michigan. Or was it Montana? It was Montana. The upper Midwest. As we watch the border, the northern states see the balloon for the first time. The governor of Michigan is recruiting Chinese-owned battery-making plants to come to Michigan and set up. Tone deaf. You got more than 100 residents of the Green Charter Township, according to Fox News, and Big Rapids in rural Mecosta County, Michigan, showing up to a March 14th meeting to voice their concerns over the presence of Chinese-owned company Goshen Global amid growing concerns over national security issues related to China. So one member of the crowd stood up and said, why would we invite the enemy to come spy on us? All things on here are bad, but the thing that drives me most nuts is this is our enemy. That is our enemy, not the Chinese people. I have nothing against the Chinese people. They suffer the same under communism that you all are trying to bring here. This is disgusting. That's the best they can do. Governor Gretchen Whitmer is literally recruiting now a Chinese-owned battery-making company. Okay. Well, one more on governors, and we'll come back and we'll wrap up talking about the president. Woke California Governor Newsom. You may recall that Governor Newsom, in the midst of everything else he's done, he established the commission to review and advise on the issue of reparations. Reparations. Really? Slavery ended 150 years ago. But they're talking about paying people because they are black. They can't prove they're descendants of slaves. They might be, but how do you prove it? And by the way, California never had slavery. But I don't know if he put it in commission thinking it wouldn't do anything. But right now it says Governor Gavin Newsom has yet to explain how he tends to shell out the more than $650 billion to millions of Californians, a lofty campaign intended to provide those families with reparations. The California Reparations Task Force is currently mulling the proposal, which would see approximately 1.8 million black Californians gifted under $360,000 each. Tone deaf, all the more so when you consider the fact that California is facing a $22.5 billion deficit for next year. So in a $22 billion deficit, the governor refuses yet to say what he's going to do about this recommendation for $640 billion in reparations to people who allege that they are descendants of slavery. You can't get much more tone deaf fiscally than that. Boomer, take me to a break, brother. We'll do that. We'll come right back, and we'll talk about a few things that I see coming out of D.C. If we have time, we'll cover down the fact that, oh, I don't know, maybe we're looking at President Biden joking about ice cream, right before he makes his comments about the transgender shooting kids in a Christian school. Or how about the remember the time when he was looking at his watch while they were taking the coffins off the plane from Afghanistan? Yeah. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. Hey, by the way, earlier in the show, you know, we did that section on Insurrection 2.0. Mm-hmm. Matt Murphy from Nashville just tweeted out, he's a radio show guy up in Nashville, was on my show last week. He said more protests are expected at the Tennessee Capitol tomorrow, but fear not. He says he'll be there doing a live broadcast, apparently, but interesting. So Insurrection 3.0, I guess, is coming up. I got a caller online. Was that Brian? Brian from Huntsville. How you doing, buddy?
Doing well, except for that George Thorogood and the Destroyers. That's my ringtone. I had to look at my phone to see if I was getting another call coming in.
Well, you know, my ringtone is the song Right Now by Van Halen, and we also play that in the background. I can't tell you how many times it's freaked me out.
Well, let me toss this out there very quickly, right, which is so many people have sworn an oath to defend the Constitution against enemies both foreign and domestic. That goes from sheriffs, that goes to enlisted in the military, that goes all the way to the people that are sworn in the Congress. And when is it that we forgot our oaths? I still abide by mine, even though I'm long gone. So I'm sitting there thinking of the Alan Parsons Project, Games People Play. Where do we go from here?
It's you know, you look at it, too, and you think, okay, yeah, you're right. That's why you do see sometimes you see a current sheriff saying he will not enforce a liberal gun control law or something. But you're right. It creates a dichotomy in society when you recognize the Constitution doesn't allow that, but they keep doing it. When do I stand up?
When do I abide by my oath?
Yeah, well, yeah, it's a great point. Great point. Hey, Brian, before you go, I mean, I know that you're a good cook. Would you eat a lab-grown woolly mammoth meatball?
No chance in 80s
realm. All right, man. Have a great day. Appreciate you. Last couple of things. I mean, I don't even have time to get through all the material here today, but tone-deaf politics. You know, when a politician can't read the room, when they cannot figure out how to best recall what their constituents are going through, and they just do stuff because it's kind of like, let them eat cake. Well, the other day, most recently here, and I had any number of stories I could have chosen this from, but do you remember when President Biden came out, like the Nashville shooting had just occurred, 6 people dead and the shooter, 3 9-year-old children in those dead. It was an awful situation. The world was on edge watching it. President Biden comes out to make comments, and he started off by being silly. He's coming out to address another group that was already in the White House, which had children and things in it. But I guess he thought it would be a good idea to joke about ice cream and to talk about them and to wave and to smile and to kind of be Huckster Joe. And it was so tone deaf. Somebody should have told him, hey, when you go out there, keep a straight face and address the issue and apologize for having to talk serious in the middle and then get light with them afterwards. But the opening comments with children dead is not, I'm here because I heard there was ice cream and talking about what his favorite flavor is. Unreal. Unreal. Tone deaf. But then he is known for being tone deaf. He's known for being tone deaf. You may recall, and cameras are on him. He's been in public office long enough to know that cameras are always on you, even more so when you're president. But remember when the U.S. Marines were killed in the suicide bombing at the Kabul airport during his debacle of a pullout? And President and Mrs. Biden, and I believe Secretary Austin and some others went to, to be there when the caskets came off the plane. And on the one hand, I thought, good. He needed to go. He needed to be there. They died on his watch because of his watch, if you get down to it. And then being so tone deaf and forgetting who he is again, because it's all about him and about lightening things up. In the middle of the ceremony, the cameras watch and the world saw as he looked at his watch like he had somewhere else he wanted to be. You talk about tone deaf. I mean, my gosh. It doesn't. I mean, but how many times do it on and on and on? How about this? Fox News had a piece talking about the fact that there had just been a liberal activist that was successful in helping to curtail lobster fishermen off the coast of Maine from pursuing their livelihood as they had done for centuries. And the next few days later, Joe Biden held a White House dinner serving a lavish lobster meal as if, you know, he wasn't even paying attention. Someone somewhere might should have said something because the tone deafness was galling. All right, you guys, heading to dinner here pretty soon, and it will not be Woolly Mammoth Meatballs. Y'all have an amazing night. Boomer and I back here tomorrow, too. We'll see you then. Side ruffians out there, you are listening to